Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola, and that's our usual theme, The March to the Scaffold by Hector Berlioz from the Symphonie Fantastique. It's an ancient recording. Excuse me. And given the events and the public, propagandists who are part of stirring up all of this political dissension over, quote, immigration, which is a political fiction, these people who are here illegally are aliens, and many of them are migrants. And the reason they're coming here is not because they want to become U.S. citizens, although some are coming here for medical care, the what are known as anchor babies. They're coming here to work. And up on my latest YouTube site at Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, we discovered the new shadow, a migrant, two of them, who how these people live, and they happen to be in a park where the new shadow and some other people were at, and a bloodhound was alerted to their presence behind some bushes, and he started barking. So it's up there. It's quite interesting, and the migrant left. I've seen him around before, and we're running a series, a mini documentary on who these people are, where they're from, how they survive in urban settings such as San Francisco, how they eat, how they communicate, and where they get work. And it's interesting, I was talking to a native San Franciscan who was of Mexican ethnicity, and family's been here over 50 years. He has lived in the city for over 50 years. He's about 50 years old, but his family goes way back to probably the 19th century. And it's an interesting, he's worked on fishing trawlers up in the Northwest, and he got injured and he quit that job. Now he's working at San Francisco General Hospital in the emergency ward, and I was interviewing him off the record on what kind of people come in there, and it's they serve you, but you get a number and you may wait all day. And the emergency ward, they're trying to tell people that it's for people with true emergencies such as heart attack, bullet, knife wound, if they're fainting in the street, having a diabetic seizure, or having a baby. And some hospitals have special parking for pregnant women who are about to give birth. But they're seeing people from all these ethnic groups, Chinese, Mexicans, South Americans, Central Americans, and they go there. So some of that's up on the Amicus Veritas YouTube site. But among the fictions that are really upsetting people, that's caused, you know, in this time of economic disruption, we don't need these people being stirred up, claiming that they have, in effect, American civil rights. They have human rights. They shouldn't be abused. They're people who do hire these, they're Americans who hire these illegals, and they won't pay them, or they cheat them on their pay. Physically assault them, sexually assault them in some cases. Women are particularly vulnerable. You know, nobody needs to be treated that way and shouldn't be treated that way. And that's a human right. That's not an American civil right. There's also the question about what is an immigrant? And in 1847, this is interesting, New York City, because of the famine and the problems in Europe, and in 1840, in that whole period, there was the social revolutions throughout Europe. Kings and emperors had their thrones shaken because of the poverty, the political abuse, the wars. In fact, Franz Joseph, the longest reigning male ruler of a country in Austria-Hungary, he became emperor of Austria because all the problems there, and the older person who should have gotten it or didn't want it. And so Franz Joseph, at the age of 18, became the emperor of Austria-Hungary. Hungary was part of Austria. It's called the double monarchy or the dual monarchy and the double crown. And then in Germany, he had so much social unrest that Bismarck finally, Otto von Bismarck, became prime minister, chancellor of the first, or the Second Reich, I guess you'd call it. And to stem the political unrest, he instituted the first national health care system. It wasn't out of altruism, it was out of political opportunism to stem the dampen the disunity. He was trying to unite Germany under Prussian control and all the various states, Bavaria, Wittenberg, various states, Saxony, of Germany, and to have the crown, the Prussian king, as the emperor of the new German, the new Reich. And Germans were, and because of conscription, they were emigrating to the United States and into Canada, not so many into Canada. That was the Irish. And because of the famine, the potato famine in Ireland, a lot of Irish emigrated and with horrible conditions. It's interesting, the word, the way the spelling of the word was E-M-I-G-R-A-T-I-O-N, which means to go out from. And they set up in New York City the New York Board of Emigration, E-M-I-G-R-A-T-I-O-N. And it wasn't immigration, and it was to deal with these people just streaming in from Ireland primarily, and there were Germans and others. But a lot of Irish also went to Canada, which is interesting. The conditions that they came, those who survived, the horrible conditions on those ships, which is unbelievable. But some of them survived, and how this ties into the Catholic Church is very interesting. Today is the birthday of Cardinal Francis Spellman, born in 1889. Now, Catholics, and even people who are non-Catholic, growing up in ethnic neighborhoods in enclaves like Chicago, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, the priest's role was to protect his flock, and usually they were ethnics. There were various churches. In fact, in one area in Chicago, Wicker Park, where I grew up, or was born, there were, I think, four Catholic churches within a few blocks of each other. There was the Italian church, the German church, the Polish church, and the Irish church, as I recall. And the Italians would beat up the Irish, the Germans would beat up the Poles, and the priests, one of their roles was to protect their ethnic flock. And people like Spellman, a lot of the early Catholic prelates had to be politically savvy. The first one was a guy named Gibbon, who was the cardinal in Baltimore. But Spellman was probably the most political of the American bishops. The cardinals was the top dog. And he was the head chaplain of the armed services. He was very friendly with the presidents, and also because he was the chief chaplain, or in charge of all the chaplain services in all the Iron American military services, and also the fact that he knew very well, he knew Pope Pius XII. The movie The Cardinal, starring Tom Tryon, Walter Houston played a cardinal, and Romy Schneider played his wannabe lover, And Tom Tyron played the role depicting Cardinal Spellman's rise through the Catholic Church from a priest in Boston to the Cardinal Archbishop of New York City. And he was appointed just before World War II. In Chicago, we had George Cardinal Mundelein, who was a buddy of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He'd always meet with him. And Mundelein's from the German. And he had a summer estate in Florida. And when the submarines were just sinking ships before we instituted convoy system, he would go out to the beach and give final rites. And it didn't matter if they were Catholic or not, I just did it. For all these sailors, merchant marines, who were being torpedoed by the German submarines. Interesting, today also is the day that the Canadian Navy was formed, and Canada doesn't have a big navy, but during World War II, they're the ones that really pushed the convoy system, and they created a boat called the Corvette. In fact, Raymond Massey and Humphrey Bogart starred in a movie about corvettes, which were these ships that escorted the merchant vessels from Halifax and to England to bring the war supplies to keep England from being overrun by the Nazis, because England didn't have the resources and they were cut off from their empire. So that happened. And we said some other interesting birthdays. In fact, today, our ending thing, Politics and Pokers, the guy that sings that, it's his birthday today. He's dead. Howard Da Silva, great bass voice. We have Audrey Hepburn, her birthday today. And for those of you who are musically astute, or should be, Roberta Peters, the great opera singer, and Gennady Radzepinsky, great Russian symphonic conductor. And those of you who are politically astute, Bill Bennett, who was the Secretary of Education in the George Bush administration. His brother is also political. And also one of the great composers, those of you who are fond of one of the, what they call, the more popular played pieces of classical music, George Enescu, he died today. And the great French aviator, Louis Breguet, he died today. And we have, unfortunately, those of us who were protesters during the Vietnam War and did draft advice and try to keep people from running away to Canada, because at the time you couldn't come back. If you did, you were prosecuted. This is the anniversary of the Kent State massacre, where four students who were just walking on the campus were killed by the Ohio National Guard. This destroyed the governor's reputation politically. And these people, and we should remember them, Alison Krauss, Jeffrey Miller, William Schroeder, and Sandy Schurer. I think I pronounced her name right. Also, one of the most fascinating of the Balkans political leaders, Tito. That was an adopted name. He's the one who successfully defeated the Nazis in what was known as Yugoslavia at the time. And he crushed any political opposition when he took over. And Yugoslavia was able to thumb their nose at Stalin's. Nobody else got away with this behind the Iron Curtain but Tito. And people want to be political leaders in Hungary, Romania, Poland, Germany, Czechoslovakia, when they got too big for their kulaks. Stalin had these show trials, and several of them, there were some infamous trials in Czechoslovakia, the Slansky case, in Poland, and in Hungary in particular, where the Russians suppressed any political attempts at independence and expression. And, of course, the 1956 Hungarian Revolution, I remember at our school, we had two teenagers who escaped. I don't know what they're doing today. They're probably wealthy businessmen ready to retire. And today is also the death, anniversary of the death, of the IRA terrorist Bobby Sands. He starved himself to death. Now, why this is important, he's important because if the federal government goes ahead with its plan to farm out these terrorists for trials in the U.S. district courts around the country. There's a case in San Francisco, which I will bring up on our YouTube site, which may be a guide for defense lawyers and conditions of confinement. So this is what is known as, it's under our Eighth Amendment, that any detainee, and even the convicted prisoners, there are certain civil human rights that they have while they're in detention, in U.S. Marshal custody, even in a local jail or state prison or federal prison or military prison. There are certain rights that these detainees and convicted prisoners have, and this may become an issue, and it, will become an issue for defense lawyers if any of these trials are farmed out. We've already had one in San Francisco dealing with the IRA, so that'll be a guide. And also today, this is getting back to the Catholic, the Pope's meddling in politics. The Spanish Pope, Alexander VI, divided up the non-Christian world between two Catholic countries, Spain and Portugal. And that demarcation in the South American area was Brazil, Portugal got Brazil. That's why they speak Portuguese today, which is one of the toughest languages. And also, if you want to become a Brazilian citizen, I think it's 15 years you have to be in continuous residency, and you have to master Portuguese. It's the only country in the world that has that requirement. And then in 1626, New York, the Indians there sold Manhattan for $24 in trinkets and cloth. What a deal. And also today, the French invented the first folding umbrella. Another thing today, it's very relevant to the protests against the abuses of the federal government, or of a government, Rhode Island became the first state to declare independence from Great Britain. And also the slave trade in 1818, England and the Netherlands signed a treaty to stop the illegal slave trade. Ironically, was Catholic Portugal was the last country in the world to abolish slavery, and that wasn't until the late 1800s. And those people who are opposed to the death penalty, in 1846, Michigan ended the death penalty in that state. And then we had the New York Board of Immigration, EMI, G-R-A-T-I-O-N. And then also the first terrorist incident in Chicago occurred, the Haymarket Riots. That was an area of Chicago, I think it's the West Side if I remember, where there was what were called anarchists, supposedly threw a bomb which killed seven policemen. And the governor of Illinois at the time, John Peter Altgeld, in fact, A-L-T-G-E-L-D, in fact, the street's named after him, Altgeld, he was a German immigrant, and he was, and then was also Carl Schurz, H-U-R-Z. A lot of Germans, there was a huge German emigration to the United States, and they settled in places like Pennsylvania, Chicago, some in Boston, and New York. Interestingly, for those of you who have been following the Steve Neri case, that we now have a former U.S. Assistant Attorney who's taken a third try. Two others were tried, and there was a lot of manipulation. We'll get into that later. But he filed a habeas corpus in a San Francisco local court, and of course we'll see where that goes. There's been no media coverage because the morons in the media are opposed to don't ask, don't tell, and that's what occurred in this case, where they used a rape of a 18-year-old sailor as a political cudgel to express their opposition, the homosexuals who worked in the San Francisco DA's office and the courts. Their opposition to don't ask, don't tell. Ironically, some of these people were involved in male prostitution and video spy camming on people in their showers. And we'll get into more of that because it's a really dirty case, something that belongs in a public toilet sewer line. But the Dreisbachs were involved in this case, and Dr. Dreisbach's famous, he runs the Eisenhower Cancer Clinic medical facility down in Rancho Cucamonga, I think it is, or near Palm Springs. And he got involved in the Steve Neri case back in 1997, him and his wife. And he descends from the famous Dreisbach of Pennsylvania, who came to the United States or came to this country in about the 17th century, came from Germany, Catholic family. And we have a couple other Germans who were involved in this case, people of German ethnicity, who also served in the military. Dr. Philip Dreisbach was also served in the U.S. Air Force, honorably, as did many of the people involved in the Steve Neri case and these other cases here in California and the courts, primarily veterans cases. Raul Almason. And tomorrow is the Cinco de Mayo, and it's important to this case. Raul Almason, the first lawyer who worked on, started the habeas corpus, but he died. I had to finish the work on the first one and the second. His great uncle was Benito Juarez, the first democratically elected president of Mexico, and one who defeated the Austrian Grand Duke Maximiliano and Carlotta. Famous movie starring Brian Ahern and Betty Davis and Paul Muning, who is actually Russian Jewish and was the uncle of the conductor of the San Francisco Symphony, Michael Tilson Thomas, or Tomaszewski, Russian-Jewish family, and the Yiddish Theater of New York. Paul Muning starred in a lot of 30s movies, Zola, I Accuse, I'm an escapee from a prison chain gang. He also played Scarface, played some great actor. But he played a dark in his face, and he played Benito Juarez. Great movie, and it recommended Maximilian and Carlotto. And Raul Almason's, what happened was there was so much political dissension in Mexico that his family moved to the Philippines. And he studied law, American law, became a lawyer, and at the start of World War II, went into MacArthur's army. And he escaped Bataan Corregidor, and for 3 years the Japanese were chasing him and his pregnant wife, this is fascinating, around the Philippines. But he escaped their clutches. They would have killed him and his wife had they captured them. And after World War II, he practiced civil and international law. And he sent his daughters to the best schools in Switzerland and in Europe. And one of his daughters met an American Marine who was an embassy guard in Geneva, and was also distantly related to General George Colette Marshall, who was the chief of staff of the U.S. forces in World War II. And she married him, and they came back to the States, and Raul emigrated back to this continent. When Spain conquered the New World or explored and set up settlements here, Mexico City was the administrative capital for everything in this part of the world and in Asia, particularly the Philippines. So if you had a beef with the local governor or the governor general or whoever was in power in the Spanish colonies, it first had to go through Mexico City, and then it went to Madrid in Spain, the capital. That could take months to resolve if it ever got resolved, and all the correspondence back and forth. So those little things are fascinating. What we're going to find out is that a lot of these people who are stirring up this public unrest, and if it isn't sedition, it certainly borders on sedition. That is, as if I recall correctly, my studies in this field, a capital offense. And it's either a long prison term, and I guess in extreme cases, such as what we did during the Civil War, could be executed. I guess the federal government doesn't execute too many people. The last one, I think, was Timothy McVeigh. But the shoebop, this crotch bomber kid last Christmas, may be facing the capital punishment, as well as this guy, this Pakistani, a naturalized American, who was just taken off the plane. He almost got away. He may be facing capital punishment. It's going to be very interesting how these things play out. And, of course, the lawyers, they have to be given lawyers if they can't afford their own. We'll probably be looking at this terrorist case that was already tried here in San Francisco, but on a little different, some different things about it, but the conditions of confinement was one of the issues brought up, and the federal government had to look into how this terrorist would be treated had he been sent back to his home country to serve time there, because the British were looking for him. I had a warrant for this terrorist IRA guy. Excuse me. We're going to have upcoming, still getting over this awful, whatever it is, allergy or cold. We will be having Patrick Butler, probably the best and longest continuous serving journalist in Cook County. He knew everybody and knows where all the bodies or most of the bodies are buried, who's buried there, why they're buried, and who may be next. So I think we're going to have him Thursday, and then we're editing down some of the interviews I did for Western Public Radio and KALW-FM and going back through our archives. I have a huge transfer of tape to CD and videos. And we will have something unusual coming up about J. Edgar Hoover's taste. This is going to surprise people. It's quite amusing. And nothing dirty about it and nothing derogatory, but it is interesting. So we'll be featuring that soon. And also Will Rogers, who was the great, he died in June, I think, 1936. But it, not only was he a great humorist, but he had great political awareness and perception. And we have from the archives in the radio station, some of his broadcasts, and there, even then during the FDR administration, and of course Mr. O refers back to FDR and about programs, and Will Rogers made some interesting observations about FDR's programs, and they're not only humorous, but they're very applicable to what we're trying to do today with this plethora of programs. Most of them don't work and were never intended to work. But we'll be playing several of his comments and broadcasts. You know, there's a lot of rare history and broadcasts from the old archives that are relevant today. And, of course, we don't have really the people like Jack Anderson, people like that, who incidentally wrote about me in a column, very briefly, though. So that'll be coming up. And then if you have some, go to our master web pages. It's taking about 4 hours to go through everything, but you can access them easily by going to typing in verzola.com, V-E-R-Z-O-L-A.com. And then we're going to be bringing up the latest on vote fraud, how the Lavender Left got control of politics, and why a lot of the political agitation we see today can be traced back to the Nazis, especially this opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the Nazis, Ernest Röhm, started the first modern homosexual-dominated military force, 300,000 in the SA in Germany, and he's political godfather of a lot of this sexual perversion in the military. So we'll end with Howard Da Silva. Oh, where is he? Where are you, Howard? Here we go. And his birthday today.
What do you think, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go.
That's
ahead.
Howard.
I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a
gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big eight.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Goodbye.
Nothing.
Gentlemen, see you Thursday.
How about